Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 49 of Fans of Power. I am Joe Amato, and I'm here with Tyler Baker. How's it going, Tyler?
Oh, I couldn't be happier. You know, with the wonderful new piece of media that's come out. You know, I'm on top of the world. You know, I'm ecstatic to know. I'll save that for later. But
we'll get to some of that.
All in all, you know, I'm feeling pretty good, and as always, just the opportunity to talk about the greatest property that's ever been created in the history of pretty much anything.
Of anything, indeed. Now, Brian couldn't make it this week. He will return for next week, and next week is going to be our big episode 50. So that's going to be a special one. So he'll return for that. So in case everybody wondering where he's at, he couldn't make it this week. But in the meantime, we will talk about some of the news from Super 7. I'm sure that everybody's seen there was no new figure shown for Masters of the Universe
Classic.
Gosh,
boy, that was depressing.
I know. It's coming. Don't worry, it's coming.
Not and even a else... statement, though. You know, I just wish we'd have got something from the Horseman or Brian Flynn that said, you know, we can't have anything revealed quite yet, but in about 2 weeks we will have, you know. I just wish we'd have been given something, because you just naturally assume when the Horsemen say they've just sent out, you know, several figures to Super 7, you kind of feel like, all right, here comes New York. We're going to get something here. We're going to get a big reveal. And I mean, I guess.
Well, I admit, I haven't gone to a lot of the toy sites or the other forums because just recently with, you know, my computer and stuff, I wanted to make sure I wasn't getting viruses because I got to get a virus program. I honestly don't know if anything was announced. I mean, I thought I heard somebody say that they were saying they're still kind of like ironing out some details, but they're definitely going to announce stuff. But that might have been just fan rumor. I absolutely don't know on that. I mean, we know we're getting stuff.
Yeah, I saw something like that, too. I just wish we'd have got something since he was there. Obviously, people were probably asking him questions in person as to what's going on, what can we expect. Mm-hmm. And I just wish we'd have gotten, like, a video of someone asking him, you know, questions like we'd gotten before of what Super 7 hopes to do. I guess we're so used to hearing some consistent updates, whether we have nothing or not, at least knowing that I'm not downing Super 7 at all when I say that. I just wish we'd have something to tide us over as to, like, you know, when can we expect, you know, the 2017 subscription figures to kind of be popping up so we know what we're getting into, what can we expect to be signing up to get, things like that. So
I can understand that. But, you're right.
No godly among this weekend was just like, you know what, I don't drink, but I've been meaning to start after this weekend.
You and your godly among, I know. But, I'm sure, like I said, there'll be probably something announced soon. I'm almost positive on that. The other thing is, a lot of people, I guess, were, I don't know how it came up, but they were a little nervous thinking that there's not going to be any Princess of Power stuff made, and that's not really true from what I thought I heard. I mean, what it is that's a separate license or property that they'd have to acquire or something, which they probably will. And I thought they said, like, right now the big issue possibly is getting Filmation stuff on the side of Princess of Power, but as for some of the vintage figures, you know, I mean, characters that may get, like, you know, Scratch and Sound Catcher or something, or some of the other variants, those are still possible in Classics, along with some stuff from Mini Comics and maybe concept characters, I think. I mean, I could be quoting this wrong, and if anybody out there has heard news and they want to correct me, I mean, feel free, because I'm just trying to, you know, cover as best as I can, but... Well, I'm sure Princess of Power, they're still going to be covered in Classics one way or another, so I wouldn't worry about that.
I'm just not too concerned about getting a Scratch and Sniff Catcher and a Shower Power Scratch Saver.
Well, I mean, you know...
I know it's Scratch and Sound, but I'm just like...
I know.
Oh, man, I don't... I know there's people at the She-Ra fans, I just feel like there's other She-Ra characters that I feel like need to be hit before getting something like that. It's like one of those things where you sign up for a subscription and you're getting more variants, you know, that you don't.
I know
really...
some people, right? I mean, sometimes you say
not trying people... to rain on the parade of She-Ra fans who want all the variants. I understand that. I'm just saying in general, when you've got other She-Ra characters that were featured in the cartoon, that, you know what, I would love to personally have myself, you know, like Dial the Mug. But
we'll see. I mean, that's the thing.
She was a He-Man concept character too. So I almost feel like, does that necessarily mean that he's considered a She-Ra Filmation character because he was considered as a, you look at the concept drawings that were, you know, that's what he was kind of based on, is a He-Man.
Maybe we'll get two of them. So, maybe we'll get, a variant. One Dialamog based off of that concept for the He-Man toy line, if possible, and then the one from the cartoon. Maybe we get two different versions of them.
Yeah. I definitely want more original characters we have not seen before we get any more variants. I don't need it. Don't need any more variants.
No, I mean, and I know what you mean. I mean, with the variants, like I said, sometimes they can get tiresome, but I mean, still, they're cool in a collection when you want everything.
But when you wait once a month to get a new figure, and you're waiting in anticipation, but your waiting is for a figure like, I've already got this He-Man. I've already got a Skeletor, and you're like, here comes another one. I'm like, I want, you know, I'm just ranting here.
No, I mean, I know, because like you said, you were wanting the characters from She-Ra that would be original. Like you said, Colonel Blast or Hung of a Harpy and the Twiggets and, you know, Dialamog. And I think, like I said,
Acrobat,
that's
bad, you know, and I mean, it's bad. Just in any kind of, you know, other, you know, villains or, shoot, I'd even take King Gruff. The King Pony from the Laughing Dragon episode that Joe just seems to, like, take a big South Park crap on.
You the last South
Park, know what I'm talking about when I say like a South Park, what that looks like.
Not the South Park reference. But no, so that's what I mean. So they are going to I mean, that's what they have to do. They have to get the Filmation rights of She-Ra or something. So I have faith that they'll get it. So I'm not even worried about it. We'll get that and then we'll get all that good stuff. But now, when you say variants, now that is an interesting thing. Which is, it's cool. Some people, maybe just who are impatient, say, eh. But what they did show are ultimate versions of classics that they're going to be releasing. Now, again, yes, those are, in a way, you could say kind of variants or things we've already seen. But what's cool about it is, first, let's say for people who didn't get, for example, the original Teela line, not the Battleground Teela or something, or even that Filmation looking type of thing with Point Dread, but the real Teela. We know in the secondary market, that's ridiculous price when you're paying $120 to $200 for her and some of the other figures, like even Ram Man. Well, they're releasing ultimate versions of certain characters. Teela is going to have four heads. She's going to have, like, I think, almost every type of weapon that was released with her or her other variants or something. But, like, they're giving her extra blonde head with, it's like her, basically, her Filmation. I mean, you know what I mean? Her red-headed that came with the original figure. Well, there's going to be a blonde version of that. So it's,
yeah, it's pretty hot.
Hey, I mean, I like the blonde Teela. I know a lot of people say they like the redhead more from the cartoon, but I'm more prone to the blonde from the original, I mean, the comics and stuff.
I'm down with blonde Teela.
There you go. So she's going to have an ultimate version. Ram Man, while he's not having a ton of extra things, you're at least going to get Ram Man now. Plus, he's going to be based off of the coloring on the card back, you know, that different kind of orangish look, or,
yeah,
you know,
cell artwork, yeah.
Yeah, which is awesome. So, I mean, it's cool to get another Ram Man, but the ones that really are loaded is Faker. He has three heads. He has, I think, three swords, one axe, and a shield. And the same thing with He-Man. Three heads, three swords, axe and shield. And Ultimate Skeletor is going to have his head. He's going to have, I think, the Keldor head, the cape, and a bunch of stuff. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on the Ultimate stuff? I mean, I think it's really great for people that didn't pick up on it the first time. And if you're a collector that needs it all, you might obviously still get it. But what do you think?
Initially, I thought it's a good idea. I mean, I probably will not be picking him up because I've... The only one that I thought would be really cool to have would to get another Faker, really cool, so I can have the vintage style Faker head on the Faker body, because that just looked really, really, really
cool. It does look cool. That's what I'm... Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't see myself going and buying another one of these. I'm happy for people who maybe, you know, getting back into He-Man or missed out on certain characters, whether they didn't get a Keldor, they didn't get the kind of jungle version of He-Man. Now, I'm not calling it Ular, you know, so if they missed out on getting that head, you know, here's your chance to have that. So it's, I think it's a good idea. It's a good way of you know, kind of like with Maddie Collector would always have, like, their kind of standard a few characters always on available, and having these versions available, I think, is a great way for Super 7 to have kind of like your basic characters ready to go for purchase.
Right, some of the core characters along with some of the ones that were the harder to get, you know, like the Teela being an example, and And hey, I am getting another Ram Mandel. That's a big boy, and I do like my Ram Mandel, so I am going to get that cross sell one too. I got to have a couple Ram.
I would like to have that myself. I just don't think I'm going to have the extra funds to buy an extra Faker, an extra, because those would be the two. I've got a He-Man and Skeletor and Teela that I'm quite satisfied with. So those would be the two that I would get if funds allowed it.
You know, it's interesting you said that, though. They haven't announced prices on these figures yet, have they? Have they given any idea of what they might cost?
I would hope they're... I thought I saw somebody mention that they might be a slightly more expensive than what we're accustomed to, but then again, too, that was nothing concrete. It's not like we heard it from Brian Flynn or any representative from Super 7 that confirmed that. I just saw that when I'm looking around frantically for any kind of news that if we're getting, you know, what new figures and stuff like that. So,
well, I guess the last one I want to ask you, you know, beyond all them figures and things that might happen, there was like a little announcement, kind of in a way, about Snake Mountain. They said they sent it off to the factories to get priced. Now, it was getting people excited because they said, oh, we're getting Snake Mountain. Now that they haven't definitely said we're getting it, which I'm hoping we do, this is all just finding out the price, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah, they're just sending off to get a price to see what they could do. And I mean, shoot, for all we know, we don't know. Looks like we've been presented with like the initial Snake Mountain that we were shown before, but we don't know if, you know, if they're going to have to cut away something, are they going to have to shrink it down, or are we going to get it as is? And something that big, I cannot imagine it being just $300. I mean, Grayskull was big and it was $300. This looks bigger. And I'm sure it may be, I can't remember if it's been confirmed. I don't know. I'm sure people listening to this right now probably know if it's a lot bigger or not, but it just looks like it would be something a lot more than $300.
Exactly. Plus, with all the features they were talking about, I mean, if they were talking like, they say Bluetooth, or what were they talking about? All those
some sort of Bluetooth, so that way I think you could have like the Snake Mountain theme like played off the internet or something like that. You could play that, you know, in your Snake Mountain or something along those lines, where you could play, you know, music through it, which would be cool to have like the Snake Mountain theme being played, or even a theme from the live action movie Skeletor enters the throne room.
Like, I mean, no, and those are cool things, all cool features, but I know that all goes into pricing too, which makes you think, you know, would they give options? Like, before this is all said and done, like, maybe they'd say, okay, would you want one with all these extras, like, including the Bluetooth stuff and all that? Like, would you want this for $399? Or for maybe $320, take that out? Or, you know, you wonder if they're going to give options or ask before even thinking maybe they could go forward with it. You know, you wonder what fans would want in the long run.
Well, I know everyone would want everything they could possibly get, but, you know, people have got to realize not everybody has $300, $350, $400 or more plus shipping to put into something like that, especially if they decide to race it at Christmas time or something like that. You know, like oh, man, it just really pissed me off when they did that with Grayskull. But it's a lot to take in. I certainly don't see myself being able to purchase it because I don't have the room for it. You know, I don't have room for Grayskull right now as it is. It's boxed up in storage right now. So getting Snake Mountain, I'm like, a game over.
It's a whopper. And I always feel for the international fans when they ever have to order any of that, because I felt like the shipping.
Yeah, they really got it bad. So I really shouldn't be complaining a whole lot.
Yeah, especially when they might pay $100, $200 or whatever it may be. But, no, so that's, I think, pretty much all the news from Super 7, along with they did show, which I was saying before, for those who weren't a big fan of the glow-in-the-dark Three Terrors figures, they did show painted ones. So, I mean, I knew that was going to happen inevitably, and, you know, they definitely look better. Meaning, for those who thought, since all the glow-in-the-dark ones, they look similar, they looked out of place, I was like, well, wait till you see them painted. Then you can see how they can blend better. And it seemed like at least people were saying now they can understand, oh, those do look like they fit in. There's still those that don't like them, and more power to them. I respect that. But you can see they blend better painted.
I didn't notice that. I saw them on display, but I really didn't catch. I figured it was what they were had already sold before. So I'll have to go back and look at that, them being painted now.
Yeah, check them again. They're painted, so that'll be good. And like I said, hopefully that can lead to... you know, a vintage hero and a vintage Eldor.
Yep, and Gigantosaur and a vintage Lizard Man. That would be fantastic, too.
It would. I got it. Oh, God, don't say it. Jesus, Gigantosaur. Okay. I got to quit thinking about that.
Now, Gigantosaur, that's something I feel a little bit more inclined to. All right, you know what? If you want $120 for Gigantosaur, you know what? I'll work with you, Super 7.
I think they will. I mean, you've seen when, like I made posts, and you've seen posts everywhere, but I did that post one time. I said, out of all these vintage vehicles and items and things that weren't released before, which one do you think you want the most? And I showed everything, and I included Gigantosaur, and my God, the reactions for him was just insane. I mean, out of those hundreds of people, I mean, I'd say 80% of people were saying they wanted Gigantosaur, so it shows. I mean, there's definitely a want for that type of character, which then hopefully could lead to, obviously, for classics, hopefully, not just, you know, the vintage, but for classics, maybe we can get, you know, Tyrannosaurus Rex, and we can get Bionicle.
Oh, man.
Updated ones of those. Those would be nice.
Oh, Lord, to have classic scales of all three of the dinosaurs. And I would be open to getting more dinosaurs, like getting a Stegosaurus. And I think it's an Ankylosaurus, or the one that has, like, there's certain dinosaurs where their names are, I think it's an Ankylosaurus, something like that, where he has, like, the dome spike with, the ball tail with spikes on it, too, you know, for, like, slamming and ramming stuff, and
bonehead
dinosaur. I mean, just the whole dinosaur concept, it gets me so excited.
Let's see. No.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
I was going to say the two. They gave us a brief update on Thundercats that it's moving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. That nothing's been finalized, but as long as we're heading down that road, we're getting closer and closer to getting a Groon the Destroyer and a Retaro figure. Finally, the Driller and the Lunatax and the Berserkers and so on and so forth.
And let's hope it. Yeah, I mean, keep going with Thundercats. I mean, I know they're trying, like you said, and moving forward, and it would be great. I felt bad because, as you've seen, there was some kind of issue with the Lion-O figure out of the factory. I don't know if that was in the casting or if that was in the molding stage, but I'm sure you've seen it. But there was strange issues. I've never seen anything like that with the figure. First, beyond, you know, the molding and casting, the paint apps. There's so many people that were missing eyebrows, both eyebrows, the stuff around the belt. I mean, it looked like it was splashed around. But then when it came to some of the pieces, there was figures that, like, in the hair was all blotched up, missing parts around his nose, missing fingers in the hand. It's like, I've never seen anything like that with any figure. And I feel so bad for anybody got that figure and had an issue.
It continues to kind of be like a consistent problem with, you know, Thundercats just always seems to be getting shorthanded in some form or fashion. You know, it's just like somehow this property just cannot get the full treatment that it deserves. You know, at least, you know, I mean, we got a great toy line, but it was short-lived. We got a great cartoon. I feel like it was short-lived. You know, same thing with the newer cartoon, the newer toy line. You know, and now this, where it seems like we weren't going to get anything. Now we got it. Now there's more problems. And then you get lined up with all this. It's like, man, why can't there not be this A-plus quality service towards this property? It just always felt like there's something that's shorthanded, you know, with Thundercats. I hate that.
Yeah. I mean, no, I absolutely agree, especially with all the things that recently happened with the toy lines, going from, you know, when Bandai was doing stuff, you had 8-inch, you had 6-inch, you had this, and it's just going back and forth, and now this. But, well, Thundercats.
I have like a random thought, but if anybody from Super 7 is listening to this, and you have all those Aaron McCarthy portfolio pictures, I would absolutely love if you would put those on t-shirts, on very soft sheer style t-shirts, and just put all those wonderful drawings, on t-shirts for people to buy from your Super 7 store. I would love to have a t-shirt of every single one of the Errol McCarthy card arts on a nice, you know, very soft t-shirt. Oh, man. How all are on tank tops or something like that? I mean, every single one of them, from CobraCon, Roboto, Web Store, and Blade, and I mean, just, it would be so cool. I know they were selling that, but, like, put them on t-shirts for us or something, you know?
Well, I'm thinking, hopefully, especially if they're listening to this, I mean, that's a fantastic idea, because we already know that certain kind of shirts were put out.
Yeah, they use his artwork for t-shirts and PJs back in the 80s. Give us more. Give even like, adult shirts that look like those the kitty t-shirts and pajamas, like an adult style, with like a a white shirt with like a colored sleeve, kind of like an old fashioned like baseball shirt or something like that.
I'd be all over them, and I think everybody would be, especially now seeing this, like you said, Super 7 is selling like those kind of the art card packages and stuff from Errol McCarthy's art and everything. Now that that's happening, maybe we will see that kind of shirts instead of, don't get me wrong, Filmation is fantastic.
No, more generic Filmation stuff. If you're going to give us something Filmation, it needs to be something distinct from Filmation, not just a generic, you know.
Yeah, him saying, sup, bro, and then some weights.
You know, come at me, bro, and sup, ladies, and all these other ridiculous, you know,
it's saying. It's nonsense, and it's easy. It's too easy. It's just garbage. They reuse the same images of the Filmation stuff over and over, and it's just, to me, it's too much. It's like, I've seen this 5,000 times. I want something special. But yeah, put that art from Errol McCarthy. Put that on something. And some of the ones that maybe, you know, like how we did, like you said, we had them when we were kids, and there were some of those rare ones that you rarely got to see. Well, now do it again, and everybody can get a chance to own them. I think it'd be awesome. People would be all over it.
I would love to see that one that was never used of the Scuba Tech He-Man fighting Squeeze underwater. Oh my! I want that on a T-shirt, like right now.
Well, hey, beyond that, wasn't there even one? They had some stuff from the movie. They did movie stuff.
Oh yes, I mean there was movie like He-Man in the movie outfit, mm-hmm. you know, battling Skeletor on top of a building like in New York City, kind of like on like a big tall building in the city. I mean, just having that was just, oh man, many opportunities.
Get them suckers colored, because I know some were black and white, but yeah, get them colored, put them on, because you know how Tyler is with all the movie stuff.
Give me every single bit of it, man. And do not put any kind of dialogue unless it's like He-Man versus Skeletor on an old wrinkled scroll like the PJs and t-shirts. Don't be doing anything like, come at me, bro. You know, got mad skills, man. None of this hip-hop hipster crap, you know?
Not only that, just
let the image speak for itself.
Yeah, it's just like I said, it's just anything modern. I mean, anything that seems like it pertains to anything modern that, you know, how we could speak. In any way, just doesn't fit. Yeah. Just like you said, keep it in a scroll form. Keep it just saying their names, or if they wanted to have something that we recognize from the cartoon or comics, good. But
yeah, don't give us a Manny Faces Errol McCarthy artwork that says, "I got mental issues." You know,
there you go. Yeah, that kind of
like ridiculous and stupid like that. Oh man, I feel like cracking skulls when I see stuff like that.
Well, speaking of cracking skulls, because I know you're getting excited. And speaking of Manny, when you were talking about Thundercats, maybe not getting its respect. We're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll get to something to where I think there's been some respect shown. Maybe not you, but we'll see what we're talking about when we come back from the break. Let's go.
This is where we need to cue a Sideshow Bob.
All right.
You're listening to a podcast from PopCultureNetwork.com.
Okay, we're back from our commercial. Now, Ty, we're going to get to something. Yes, maybe some parts are questionable. Some people maybe just didn't like it all like you, I'm not sure. But we're going to talk about issue 1 of the He-Man Thundercats crossover from DC. Now, first let's just say the art is amazing. I love the art. It's done by Freddie Williams II. If I'm not mistaken, it's Freddie Williams II. And this is art that we've never seen for anything for like Masters of the Universe. I've never seen nothing like it. And it's so refreshing, it's so new, and just for this to be through the entire book, not like sometimes with comics where it has that really cool cover, and then you open up the book, and then the art's completely different. No, what you get on the front is what you get in the whole entire book. So, you're getting fantastic art. And you at least seen the art. What'd you think of the art?
Art was, you know, when I saw that he was going to be the guy tackling the artwork, you know, I don't own any of the issues, but I was familiar with his work from the Batman Turtle, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover, mm-hmm. and his interpretations of Batman, the Turtles, and the Rogues Gallery and Shredder looked really, really good. And I thought, well, you know what, artwork wise, this book is going to be in good hands.
And it is. It's amazing. Now, just
well,
to let everybody...
we say art when I want to emphasize the artwork is in good hands.
Oh, here we go. I know what you're going to do. But okay, now, first let me say, everybody out there, this obviously, spoiler, so I mean, if you're not wanting to listen to everything we're going to say about the comic, I guess you might not want to listen, but if you've read it and you want to hear our opinions, let's go, and if you haven't, you want to hear it, here we go. So, we start off where it's right in action already. The first picture is Lionel slashing right into Mumra's chest. And of course, Mumra has to go back to his, you know, sarcophagus. He has to go back. And he has to get, regenerate. And he has to do his, you know, classic Ancient Spirits of Evil. But you have, the Ancient Spirits of Evil talking to him. They're mentioning about another sword. Like, you know, they're tired of, like, Mumra basically, always failing, whatever, letting them down. And there's a sword that could rival the Sword of Omens that they want him to try to acquire. Now, in this is some very, very questionable. This is the biggest gripe for me is the narration boxes. I could not stand this at all. And reason being is almost like what Tyler was saying earlier about using, you know, modern Earth speech or talking or something or whatever things. There was a couple in particular. And the biggest gripe, the one that I hated, and I know Tyler hated, is when the narration is referencing pissed off upper management or something like that. You know, when you piss off upper management or something, it's like, wait, what? What does that have to do with anything on Eternia? What does that have to do with anything on Third Earth? That doesn't even belong. I don't understand who thought that was creative or cool to use those kind of terms in this comic. I mean, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to pass it right over to you, Tyler, from not only the narration, but from the rest of it. We can do our back and forth, but your thoughts on this whole narration thing.
Yeah, it really set a bad tone for me as I'm reading. When I bought it, I went to my car and just sat down and read it in the car. Before I even went home, I just sat in the car and read it, and it just really, you get off to this, you know, particular piece, and I'm looking at it, especially when you've pissed off upper management. Because, you know, in the world of Third Earth, Thundera, or just the world of the Thundercats in general, I mean, there has been several occasions where Mom-Ra is talking to Ma-Mot saying, "We've got to be careful, Ma-Mot, we don't want to piss off upper management," you know.
Right, I mean, it makes you picture him sitting in an office wearing a suit and tie.
You know, yeah, as if, like, you know, he's hanging out by the water cooler with Monkey and the Jackalman, and they're, like, you know, asking Mom-Ra, you know, did you get that TPS report from upper management? You know, they're just like, you're behind in your TPS reports there, Mom-Ra. You know, you don't want to, I mean, upper management, you know, down my back, guy. You know, it's just, you know, what are you people thinking? It's that there's nothing clever. There's nothing cool, there's nothing hip about using this kind of, you know, dialect and words in a comic book that's about sword and sorcery and fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the kind of thing you'd see in a Michael Bay movie if he was directing a fantasy movie where everyone's talking like they just came off the streets of, you know, Times Square in New York. And mention the Instagram accounts in the world of Third Earth.
Yeah, and it's not needed. I mean, I pray that, you know, anybody who did write that, if they're listening to the show, please leave that out of future issues. I mean, that definitely is not needed. That had to be the worst type of narration ever. And there was other parts in this where that narration just, I'm not feeling it at all.
Narration in this, I mean, this book, this miniseries is targeted towards people who are pretty familiar, at least with the basics of Thundercats and He-Man. And to sit there and throw in all this unnecessary narration that does not benefit the story from beginning to end. Like, it does not enhance it. It does not explain anything that we might have questions about or not quite understand. It serves no purpose other than I don't know which one of the two writers that did it. You know, the guy from Mattel or the guy who wrote The Eternity War, whichever one. This does not service the book in any positive way other than it just pisses me off.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it was not enjoyable. The book definitely could be, I mean, I think it would have been so much better without it. It really wasn't needed. It, in fact, it just covers up part of the beautiful art that was done that, you know, well, shoot, just leave that out so we can see the art instead. But, so that's the narration stuff that obviously we didn't enjoy. But it does get to, the Ancient Spirits of Evil are telling Mumra, like, you know, where to go now, and they can go to, you know, they're going to open a portal or the dimension to go to Eternia. And, you know, of course, then when we get to Eternia, we have Prince Adam being late to where it's supposed to be, something to where he's supposed to attend. Like, there's, like, a ceremony or something, and obviously it's for him, and he's late again. Now, I like this because it's, okay, the Eternity Wars and the stuff before that, you know, that went in a very different direction. Some fans absolutely hated it, some loved it. You know, me, I thought it was, eh, it was okay, but, I mean, I didn't flip over it. People liked it, that's fantastic. I'm not saying it was bad to where, oh god, just burn it. But
I am.
I know you are. Well, I feel like this is trying to get us back to the feel of the Filmation, the original stuff, where, yes, we know Prince Adam has been late before, but I feel like in a way, it's just reintroducing it, that type of storyline that we knew, and maybe for new fans, you know, who maybe are Thundercat fans, who don't really know of Masters too well, maybe now they're going to get into knowing Prince Adam. What I didn't like when he arrived is that Teela, she's somebody that always is putting down Prince Adam. But who all, Tyler, is now putting down Prince Adam? Even though it's in their thoughts, I hate the thought of how they're doing this. Who all is thinking ill of Adam now, besides Teela?
Oh, dear God. Let's go down the massive roll call here of people who have been infected by the PMS of Teela. We've got Fista. We got Manny Faces. We've got, well, the multiple faces of Manny Faces. We've got
every Buzzle. Face.
Yeah. We've got Stratos. We've got Roboto. You know, it's just.
I didn't like that.
Mechanic. You know, it's overkill. Not one time have we ever seen any of the heroic warriors, you know, slam Adam for, you know, doing what he pretends to do. And as we all know, if he's tired, it's because he got done, you know, ripping Skeletor, the Horde, and the Snake Man a brand new, you know, blank hole. And he's, you know what, the man's earned a long, peaceful nap. And mm-hmm. is late for, you know, getting a brand new blue belt in this case here. And I just, I know Joe said that he felt like this was refreshing for what we're seeing here. The kind of cliche thing that Adam is... Oh, he's late for this. King Randor's pissed off. My son is dead to me kind of thing. I find this is very lazy writing. Like, it's going for the very simpleton, you know, way of writing Prince Adam / He-Man here. We're writing this has been done to death. You know, there have been so many stories of He-Man from comic books, mini comics, storybooks, where we don't have to deal with the whole thing of, like, Adam is lazy if he's sitting around, you know, taking large dumps and falls asleep and chasing hot women this and that, sleeping under a tree while he's fishing with Granger and all this other stuff. You know, it's just, I just like to see something different because it's not always there, because we've seen him plenty of times in other canons that Adam is there taking royal duty seriously, that he's there with Man-at-Arms or Fista, whoever's in the royal court, saying, this is what's going on right here. Adam, you know, you and Duncan, you know, fly to the city of Drizdos and take care of this. And it's not always Adam's a bumbling idiot just to, you know, it serves a purpose in certain stories, but I feel like it's been done to death. You know, as Mike Nelson from Mystery Science Theater said one time, you know, you spent that dime already, let's move on from this.
Like that dime, though. Like I said,
of course you do. This is obvious prime here.
Yep, I'm always optimistic. But no, I did. I enjoyed it because it made me. It's the first time in a long time it felt familiar. I mean, sure, like you said, it has been done before, but it gave me that familiar feeling that I haven't had in a long time. I haven't felt that in any of the classics, mini comics that were just out there in every direction. And, you know, the stuff, like I said, Eternity War, what was before that, they were like, it was feeling like it was more stuff based off of not only the classics type bios and the newer figures, but also stuff from MYP. So this is the first time I had slightly an 80s feel back, you know, with the Filmation stuff. I mean, heck, and the other thing with it is, you know, Cringer's talking again. So that means, yes, this is Filmation Cringer, the Cringer we knew that talked. Because remember, MYP Cringer wasn't talking. So, like I said, it gave me that cool feeling, a little bit of, like, a familiar feeling.
Well, you know, you had Orko saying, looking good, Adam. You know, you kind of wait for him to pull, like, a Fonz and go, ey, you know, like...
I like you said that.
Oh, man, whatever, dude.
But here's the thing. He was giving the thumbs up. If you notice, when Orko was in doing that look good, he did have a thumbs up, like, ey, man. It was, I like that kind of take on Orko. It almost looked like Freddie drew a combination of Filmation, Oracle, and a little bit of MYP. He had a slight mixed vibe, along with having, like I think you stated before, his wand from his classics figure. But
well, I mean, he has no, like, you know, like pupils in his eyes. Like, he looks like he's got solid yellow eyes, as if like he's kind of reminiscent of like the possessed Orko from Return of Orko's Uncle, where he, you know, it's.
Oh, I remember that.
Can't quite see it in this picture, which I'm fine with that. Like, Orko has like, you know, no pupils, so it kind of gives like a more mysterious tone to the character. I'm fine with that, but it's everything. It's the writing and the things that people are saying in here. I like Buzza. He'd be late for his own funeral. I mean,
now that, like I said, that
it's
was
just like that. You just looking through this, and none of this seems like, you know. I mean, it's not like we've been giving in-depth stories on a lot of these characters, but it just does not come off as like these are the kind of things that people in this particular world, in the rules, and the kind of things that are set up in these universes. That, and this goes for like anything from Batman and Spider-Man, Superman. Fans of these books, you come to kind of expect certain things about these characters. And this is clearly out of character. The thing, we just would not expect these characters to be acting this way.
Right. I mean, I definitely agree with that. I, like you said, I know they're not saying out loud, but even the thoughts of it, even them thinking that they would be thinking ill of Adam like that, it's like, okay, so we're to assume that every single, the masters, I know you don't like that, you're like, Marvel, but I'm going to say masters, but every one of the masters of the universe are thinking Adam is, you know, like, oh, he's late, he's, you know, irresponsible, he's this. Every version of man he faces, from his human to his monster to his robot, all had to say something. Little too much. What was cool is Ram-Man. I like how Ram-Man was drawn, and he was smaller. So it shows that they didn't go with the big, bulking, you know, super huge, colossus-type Ram-Man from, you know, MYP.
Yeah, you're like our kind of Gimli-sized Ram-Man.
Yeah.
Right size, but ready to, you know. And even the line, you know, I can't see, makes me think of, like, Gimli in The Two Towers, where he can't see, and, like, Legolas, like, would you like to get you a box kind of thing?
Yeah, so that was cool. I mean, I liked that, so that was really cool. But, so yeah, when we had Prince Adam then getting, you know, scolded by, you know, his father in his bedroom and stuff, that's when something happens. That's when, bam, there's a crack, and in the sky you're seeing something else, and here comes, you might as well say, Third Earth breaching into Eternia. But also at the same time, then they show it on Third Earth, you see Cat's Lair. And, you know, you hear Great Thundera, and there's Lionel. And all the Thundercats, and they're wondering what in God's name is going on. And they see another planet. And one of the Thunder Kittens said, you know, how do you fight a planet? And then suddenly you hear a voice say, with the greatest of care, my Thundercats. And Lionel looks and says, Jaga. So you see Spirit Jaga. And what's cool is, like I said before, I actually heard the music of Jaga from the cartoon when he appeared, and it's like I heard his voice. It was cool, you know what I mean? You like, you get that feeling?
I didn't get that feeling this time.
Well, I did, sucker. So listen, so I got that feeling. I felt it. It was like, you know, every other time when I'm hearing stuff from the Masters, it's like in this kind of, for some reason, I wasn't getting the Masters' voices and feel, but I heard Jaga's voice. I heard his music. But, now this is something, it just, I completely overlooked it until my buddy, Thomas Guerra, he pointed this out. He was like, did you notice something? He was like, did you notice that everybody's seen Jaga? And he said, remember, the only person that can see Spirit Jaga is Lionel. And I was like, wow. Now, that is major. That is absolutely major, meaning the people who did the research for Thundercats must not know much, because, I mean, like I said, I just was reading so quick I didn't pay attention, but when he said it, it does click in your head. The others can't see Jaga, and they're acknowledging. Like, Chitara is acknowledging Jaga. I mean, I think even Tigra's looking towards Jaga.
And they on the panel, all of them are stopping and looking at the spirit of Jaga. Every single one of them.
So, again, writers out there who did this comic, you screwed up majorly. None of them see Jaga except Lionel. It shows they skimmed the cartoon and seen a spirit of Jaga and said, okay, we're getting a little bit of ideas, and wrote. That is one of the big... Now, the Thundercat fans really go nuts for that. Masters fans might not be as familiar, but just to let you know, that's a major plot hole. I mean, after you realize that, what did you think when you're like, okay, they're all seeing and hearing Jaga now?
It's just showing... It's just continuing to be just this, you know, abuse of continuing to read this book that has nothing but mistake after mistake after mistake of screwing up both you know, properties, you know, with either how they talk or screwing up the groundwork that has been placed and has been carried over. You know, people have come to, it would be like all of a sudden all the heroic warriors and everyone in the royal court knows that He-Man and Adam are the same person. You know,
yeah, which is
it's just
thing,
like you don't do that. And if you know, even if you just had watched 2, maybe 3 episodes of the Thundercats cartoon, at least Jaga appears at least once in many of the episodes, and Lino is the only one that converses with him. You know, it's just one of those things where, like, I just kind of feel like, DC, can you guys get the money back from these guys that you paid to write this drivel? Because it's just mistakes all over the place.
No, I mean, because it did show that whoever's writing, if they were just Masters fans and are familiar with Thundercats, yeah, that was what I call a skim. They skimmed a couple episodes, they knew of Spirit Jaga, and they made one of the biggest mistakes in the entire comic. And especially, like I said, for Thundercat-wise. So that's not good at all.
No.
But, so when we got past that, you know, Lino, you know, uses it and says, Sword of Omens, give me sight beyond sight. So I was hearing the sight beyond sight music too. You know, see everything that's going on and stuff. And then there was some more of the, you know, great narration where they were describing characters like Extendar, Buzz Off, Ram Man, who, you know, we all know and stuff as circus freaks and whatever these circus freaks are supposed to be. So that was kind of cool to see how they call our masters circus freaks also. That's some good respect. So these are the things that, like,
no,
said.
Emphasize the negative aspect of that. You sounded way too calm when you said that.
Well, it does.
Because this would be the moment when I would want to grab the writers by the collars of their shirts and slam them against the wall for that. You know, you've got Snoutspout, who has been, you know, dismissed and just kind of like, you know, balked at and like, oh, I don't accept the guy with the elephant head. And you've got him in a panel here with a box that says Circus Freaks. I mean, it's just like, you just snap.
Yeah, it's annoying. No, it is annoying, especially Ram Man, one who's iconic, and he's protecting a kid from getting, like, hit by debris. Extendar is using his superhuman strength to hold up something to fall on people. Snoutspout is using his water to put out a fire. Buzz Off's flying with somebody saving. It's like, okay, all these people that are doing all these great acts, too, are, now you're calling them circus freaks. Not only just saying it, but characters we know don't refer to them as circus freaks. Again, it's like you're dismissing the masters. Again.
And just so anyone who's listening, who's probably like flipping out right now, we are aware that Skeletor is written as the narrator of this, but that does not help the situation here.
No,
but
it doesn't.
Yeah, Skeletor may say that, you know, but prior to that, it's stupid. It still doesn't work, even when you find out the end, because prior to that, you're just thinking like, this is some guy who's just like, do cool and clever with my narration here.
Yeah, but like you said, especially then when you find out Skeletor, you're like, okay, then all this is even worse. I mean, it's still stupid to say it.
Yeah, if like Skeletor speaking, like, you know, taking it back to, like, you know, Bill Lumberg, you know.
That's what I mean. It's like, okay, I know he doesn't like the Masters, but still, just that didn't fit in well, and still, nothing saves the pissed off upper management. Nothing will ever save that in this issue. So like I said, these are the things that, yes, I griped about the certain things. Like I said, I do like this comic, and I know, Tyler, you don't probably like almost any of it, but I'm just pointing out the stuff that's, you know, anybody could catch, and it shouldn't have happened. And that's what irritates me, is the things that should not have happened, which could have made this even better. Well, when all this crazy madness is going on, things are falling, exploding, stuff, and King Randor's falling down in the water, and Adam's falling, and he brings his father up, and he saves him from the water. Well, as he gets up onto land, here comes Cringer bringing the sword to him, and Adam holds up the sword with his left hand, which should have been right hand, so I'm not saying nothing, but he holds up the sword with his left hand.
Boy, that just looks so awkward.
I know, that's what I mean. I was like, maybe they flipped it by accident, I don't know. But, so he holds up the sword, and he says, by the power of Grayskull! And, again, immediately, what happens when you say, by the power of Grayskull? What happens, Tyler? Not that we're teaching people, but what happens when you say that?
Well, I think if you watch MYP, Filmation, or any other version of He-Man, comics, whatever, the minute he says that transformation sequence kicks right in immediately.
Boom. He's,
you know, if there's a prime example of that, whether you choose to believe it as canon or not, in a particular episode of Filmation where he actually starts to say, by the, and then it cuts off. No transformation starts. But once you say, by the power of Grayskull, all fans know that transformation and that explosion bursts out of that sword, and we're off and running.
There you go. So right when you say he is He-Man, then he proclaims, I have the power. Not this one. So either, again, that's why I'm pointing out the things that, why did they write it this way? Did they write it wrong, or are they writing something new to be clever? Because after he says, by the power of Grayskull, he's still Adam. Here comes the sorceress flying in the air saying, Adam, wait. It says, stay your hand, young prince. Of course, you know, if this is going by Filmation standards or whatever, I don't know how the sorceress in her human form is flying anyways.
Well, she can't do that, but, you know, right, you're assuming that most fans, I guess, that are reading this probably don't know that kind of rule that the sorceress does not. They goofed it once or twice in Filmation, yes, but the actual rule of set is that you cannot see her in her human form outside Grayskull. So you would think naturally Adam's like, what's going on here?
Yeah, exactly. What's going on, and why are you flying in human form when you're usually Zohar flying and then transform? But whatever. So, you know, he's like, sorceress. And then it says, the evil force that created the rift between worlds is on the hunt for your power sword. This force is more dangerous than any villain you have ever faced. And he says, you know, we can't, risk losing the sword. What should, we do? And the sorceress is like, I'll take it. And she takes the sword and then suddenly shoves it right through Adam's chest. And then you find out that it wasn't the sorceress. It was Mumra in disguise. And how was this whole thing? He said, you know, he's shoving it more and more through Adam's chest. And then he lets him know how he found him. He says, do you know how easily I found you and your amazing sword? Evil exists in all living things. As the ever-living embodiment of evil, I can feel it, smell it, taste it. I can also detect its absence. The complete lack of evil within you called me to you like the brightest beacon, or called me like the brightest beacon. Then all I need to do was extract from your mind everything and everyone you hold dear. So this is apparently how he could know and find him. Like, so it shows that, okay, obviously the only good person in all of eternity that's so pure is Prince Adam. None of the other heroic warriors can have this.
Boy, this is one of the dumbest things that's ever been written.
Yeah, so however, Mumra, exactly. I don't think Mumra has ever shown to have this ability before, but now he does. So, he says, now, any last words? He-Man, even though he's still Prince Adam, he knows he's He-Man. Very smallly, small, you see it by the power of Grayskull. And he's like, eh? What's that boy? Speak up. And he says, I have the power. And then, boom, suddenly he transforms into He-Man. He's standing there all strong and everything, which, again, that's why I said, are they trying to write it new and clever? Is that why they wrote it this way? So he could whisper by the power of Grayskull. And he's still, you know, Prince Adam. But then when he says, I have the power, he transforms. So that must be the new thing in this comic that they did. So he turns into He-Man. He punches Mumra right in the frickin' jaw. Mumra zaps He-Man back into a rock. He-Man's getting up, holding his head. Mumra's got the sword to He-Man's head or throat. And here comes the cool part. Cringer bites Mumra right in the leg. And then suddenly you see Mumra disappear. When he reappears, he doesn't know where he's at. He's disoriented. He's at Snake Mountain. You hear the ancient spirits of evil speaking to him. And they're speaking more and more, blah, blah, blah. And then suddenly, fa-foom, or whatever, here's Skeletor. He blasts, and it looks like he disintegrates Mumra. And then he has the Sword of Power. He got the Sword of Power from Mumra. So apparently, Skeletor was in cahoots with the ancient spirits of evil. But this whole thing leading up to that, what is your thoughts on with Cringer, Mumra, the thing? What about that?
This is probably one of the biggest problems I have with this entire book is the treatment that Mumra has been given. Because, you know, with a crossover like this, you're wanting buildup. You really feel like at some point you're going to see Mumra and Skeletor clash or attempt to team up or something like that. Like, the idea of the ancient spirits of evil making a pact with Skeletor, I'm fine with that idea. Mm-hmm. But when you have someone like Mumra, that if you're for Thundercat fans, you're quite familiar that this is one bad dude. Mm-hmm. And this is not somebody that can be taken down because a tiger bites into his leg. I mean, as we look here, He-Man punches him, but he comes right back. Like, Mumra is not fazed, essentially, by this. Like, he's, you know, he blasts He-Man and comes charging at him, but because Cringer bites into his leg, he disappears. And then, you know, he's selling it as if like, you know, oh man, I just got hit by the worm by Scotty Too Hotty in a wrestling match. It's just like, dude, you are Mom Raw. This would not phase you. It just doesn't make sense. It just looks very, you know, it's just, you just don't, I mean, if this was Battle Cat, I feel like I could buy it a little bit more, but even that, you know, if he got punched by He-Man and wasn't phasing, but somehow a bite from Cringer, who does not have the strength of Battle Cat, manages to put Mom Raw in his state where he's crawling.
Yeah, that's where I thought it was, like you said,
it makes no sense. And, no. You know, I know people, you may think I'm over nitpicking. I hate everything in DC, blah, 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 blah. I'm looking at the page here. And these characters that we come to know and love and understand what they can and cannot do, this does not make sense from a storytelling point of view.
It didn't. You know? I mean, now, again, like you said, it's not nitpicking to be negative. It's just nitpicking to, like, try to give a proper treatment to both, properties.
I don't want this to be bad. I love these two properties with all my heart. I don't want this to suck, you know, and to see that Mom Raw is essentially, I'm sure he'll show up again, but is essentially just dismantled. Within the first issue, we've shown that, you know, for Thundercat fans, your beloved great villain, and I'm a Thundercat fan, big Thundercat fan, I am not happy with the way Mom Ra is treated in this book. It's just completely as if, like in wrestling is a great analogy for this, when you're trying to build up a great heel, and you have him beaten real quick in a basic match on Raw, but he's supposed to go into the pay-per-view at WrestleMania this weekend, you know, from a wrestling standpoint, there's not much of a threat for our babyface here to beat this nasty, evil heel villain when he beat him for free on Raw, and you're going to go into the $50 WrestleMania pay-per-view and think that it's going to be a big, great match.
Right.
We have already been shown that Mom Ra has just been, you know, even with the Ancient Spirits of Evil team up with Skeletor, it just, from a fan's perspective, this is no good.
Well, like I said, we'll talk again about that, what you said, the whole thing with Cringer, because here's the thing. Like you said, He-Man, as we know, can move planets, moons, whatever. And if the punch from He-Man didn't knock Mumra, like you said, completely out or his head off, how is it that Cringer, when he's not transformed into Battle Cat, he can have more effect than He-Man? So a bite is worse than a punch coming from a man who can move a moon, a planet. That's why I think that was a missed opportunity. I think that when He-Man transforms or whatever, he should have somehow been able to get that sword, at least for a second, back from Mumra. Then maybe turned Cringer into Battle Cat. Maybe Battle Cat biting into Mumra, I would have accepted more. But they had to try to find this way of leading to where He-Man got spared for a second. So Cringer jumps in and bites him, and then boom, then he disappears. I felt like that should have been written in a different way. And yes, we know Mumra's going to come back, and he's going to do some bad stuff in the upcoming issues. Like I said, I do like the feel of it. I like the feel of it. It's like, it seems like it's Filmation style again, but a little more pumped up. It felt like it was action-packed from the beginning to the end. Just some questionable writing parts really screwed it up. Like I said, the whole transformation, the part where Jaga is being seen, that's the biggest boo-boo in all of Thundercat's history. How could you screw that up after all this time? And then these couple of parts, those were so annoying, and just completely wipe out that narration next time. I want no narration, because like you said, it served no purpose except putting in stuff that made no sense to the story and terminology that made no sense to Eternia or Third Earth.
You know, and not getting an actual fight between Mumra and He-Man, like, it's so short-lived. Like, there's only one punch, one blast, and that's it. You know, you kind of would think that you get to see Mumra, you know, fighting, you know, sword to sword or more hand-to-hand combat with He-Man. But this book, you know, you almost would expect, you know, if you're going to have a fight between He-Man and Mumra, it does not need to be in the first issue.
It's
the first
taste.
Issue should be strictly, you know, building up, introducing people to Thundercats and He-Man to people who don't know, or getting fans more familiar with what you're trying to do here. It should have been half Thundercats and half He-Man. We should not have seen any kind of confrontation, because it's wasted. The idea of finally seeing He-Man and Mom Ra duking out is wasted. It's only done in a couple of panels. it's just another giant missed opportunity to have something that fans have been clamoring for and thinking about and drawing, doing artwork and doing YouTube videos and doing, you know, discussions where they're ready to fight each other in a big roadhouse style brawl, you know, and it's wasted.
Well, it's perfect. I think it's what, you know, we always are used to. It's that taste of the team. I mean, you know that, of course.
But it's just like, whether we get to see more of this or not.
Oh, we will.
You know, it just, I mean, and who knows, we may get, you know, Horak decides to help Mom-Ra out, you know, because Skeletor is, you know, working with the ancient spirits. Horak hates Skeletor. He helps. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. But it just feels like it's a bad stepping off point, for what they're trying to do here. Joe, I think this is great for people who are enjoying this book. You've got Joe's, you know, very optimistic approach to this, you know, and I appreciate that. I love this stuff so much, and I just feel like, you know, you're wasting so many ideas and thoughts and possibilities.
I know you're passionate. I mean, we're all passionate fans, and I know you feel like, obviously, things should have been done better. I mean, which it's always expected. I mean, I thought the same thing, too. It seems like, you know, obviously, we'll never get anything that's absolutely perfect, but there were some obvious things that just, like I said,
well, it just seems like, why is it so hard to write for these? I mean, it's, you know, we got some good Thundercat books in the early 2000s when G.I. Joe, He-Man, Transformers, and G.I. Joe and Turtles were all kind of coming back to comic books, dancing around the same time. But I just feel like, why is it so hard for people to get He-Man right in comic book form? And same, I mean, Thundercats was treated pretty good for the most part in their run. You know, He-Man, you know, it had some moments in this 2000X style from my Envy creations. But I just felt like, it seemed like, why is this so hard to pretty much give us what we have come to know, the basics, like the meat and potatoes of Master of the Universe? Just seems like people just don't seem to get it when it comes to writing comic book form. They want to try and reinvent the wheel, you know, it's all there laid out for you.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, I can understand, like you said, when they try to reinvent, but if they're trying to go by the canons we know, which I think they were trying here and failing, that's what's irritating. But it just, and especially, like I said, the dialogue we spoke of 5 million times.
Ugh.
When we're talking about, that's just, it's not needed. So I guess we'll have 3 ratings here. Let's just do 3 ratings okay. First, we'll start off with the art. From a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being the worst, 10, how do you rate the art for the comic?
I give it a 7.
I'm going to give the art a 10. I love this freaking art. I love this freaking art. I can't say it enough because it was so consistent. Like I said, from the cover through the entire issue, it's the same artist, and I love this just gritty look. Just got me so excited.
Now, I mean, the artwork is extremely good, and I like, you know, the way Extendar is drawn and things like that, and it's like a particular idea, but it's not a 10 isn't in any way. I think it's fantastic. That is what essentially got me very excited about the book, was because I knew who was doing the artwork. So, yeah, a very solid 7.
Yep, and I think he's continuing through the entire series. Thank God. Yeah. That's the other exciting thing. A consistent artist through the whole series. Yes. So, because, I mean, I could picture, like, I mean, a lot of these panels, most of them where you can actually see all the characters and stuff, they can all be their own freaking posters. So, Freddie Williams, man, fantastic. I'm so glad you're doing this series, and it's good to see some amazing art. Now, let's go to the narration. 1 being worst, 10 being best. What do you give the narration?
-10.
Okay. All right. So I guess, well, I mean, we can't go that far down, but if
I'm breaking the rules here, since they seem to want to be breaking rules left and right with Thundercats.
You're breaking them too.
I could do it too.
All right, so Tyler broke the rules. He went to -10. I'll go by the rules. I'm a rule guy. I'll say 1 because that narration was wretched. Now, story in general, from 1 worst, 10 best, what do you give just the whole entire story in general for this issue?
About a 3.5. I mean, other than the idea of the ancient spirits of evil working with Skeletor, I'm not in, you know, when you got Jaga immediately knowing what Eternia is, like saying, oh, it's only... I only thought it was a legend. Like, no. I don't like the idea of, like, the idea of somebody that is associated with the Thundercats being aware of what eternity is or that it even exists. Like, I don't like that idea. The builds up no mystery between these two properties here. So, no. You know what? In fact, I give it a 2.
Wow, you just dropped. Okay. Well, I give it a 7. Because I think, like I said, the things that irked me the most, the Jaga thing, that was wretched. Absolutely wretched of him being seen by everybody. So that really screws up the story. I don't like the transformation thing or what they were trying to do. I don't know what direction they were going. And, well, of course, like we said, the kind of thing with Cringer just seemed a little off after, especially the punch by He-Man. Just a couple of things. But yes, like I said, I understand that's in almost every comic book. Something's going to be written a little weird. But I think if those parts could have been cleaned up, I could have brought it up to possibly an 8, maybe even a 9, which Tyler's probably like, what in God's name
you say? Great, man. Man, Joe is just collecting charity for this, man. He's out there with the Salvation Army bucket ringing the bell, trying to collect, you know, donations to help support his cause in supporting this story here, man.
Am I in the Prince Adam Santa Claus outfit?
You're in the Prince Adam Santa Claus outfit, you know, just ringing the bell. I need support for this story here because I can't get it from T-Rex.
There you go.
I'm just wanting to flip the bucket over.
Well, that's it. So, there you go.
I take money out of it, however you want to look at it.
Yep. Well, that's issue 1 of the He-Man Thundercats crossover comic. And it's been selling out at all the comic book shops, at least the ones around my area and from others I see. So hopefully you can find one at your store. And if you can't, you know, try to, I don't know, go to eBay or somewhere you can get it.
Or just download the artwork and put it on your computer and print it out. Save yourself the money and mental stress and strain of seeing these beloved characters being...
So I have my thumbs up. Tyler's got, like, 2 thumbs down.
I'm just Ray Jackson in the Bloodsport right now. After I've done dismantled the first run of DC books, I look up in the stands at this crossover and go, I'm going to kill you, man. You know, I just... Yeah. Bloodsport fans know what I'm talking about when I say...
Yeah, you got it. I remember that. You know, what's a dim Mac? No, but...
Yeah.
All right. Well, so... That's right. So that's our review on that. And to close the show, we had a viewer, a listener voicemail. So we'll play that right now, and we'll respond to that voicemail. So listen, here we go.
Hi, just thought I'd call in. Talk to you guys at the Fans of Power podcast. This is Paul Linz. I'm otherwise known as Eternian King Paul on the internet, and so many things that I would want to talk to you guys about. And one of my favorite podcasts, I'd have to say, also because I listen to a lot of podcasts, with so many things that are in my brain that I would want to talk to people about in terms of He-Man and She-Ra and storytelling properly done and all the corrupt nature of Hollywood and everything like that. I don't know where to begin, but anyways, love the show, and keep it up. It's getting cold up here in Canada. That's about all I have to say right now, but good podcast, and I'll talk to you again.
Okay. All right, well, Paul, thank you for that. I mean, I appreciate the feedback. I'm glad you enjoy the show. And as for getting cold up in there in Canada, I hope it gets warmer for you, so find a way to warm up or something, but thanks again for being a fan. Appreciate those comments.
Really appreciate that. You know, you really are a good friend. You know, hey guy, we appreciate your kind words there, buddy.
Oh dear, I thought we were gonna make it without doing the sound part.
Hey, right? we got someone from Canada here. I got to get in some South Park Canadian references there.
Oh dear,
I gotta make it up.
I know, and I never watched the show. But all right, so to close her up, go ahead, Tyler. What are your final thoughts
on what we talked about, or just my usual roundup?
Oh, your roundup. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Do your roundup. Go ahead. Tyler's roundup. That's it. Get the last one. Go ahead.
Tyler's romper roundup here. You know, I guess, you know, recommendation wise, you know what? This is another fun episode that would be fun to tackle someday, which would be, Creatures from the Tar Swamp. You know what? I'm not going to recommend every episode of Filmation. I'm not going to recommend every episode of MYP because there are some stinkers in there. But this is an episode that was a lot of fun. It gives us an origin to Orko. We get the very cool Trachodon. Well, that would be really cool to get in a classic style. The big Trachodon from the Tar Swamp.
All right.
But just a good, fun episode where Skeletor successfully takes over the Royal Palace with his prehistoric monsters and just and a good Orko origin story, and we have the famous Lady Edwina being all snotty and posh and stuff like that, hitting on her own cousin in the episode too, man. Some weird, wild stuff going on in that. So good classic episode, and you know, and I guess I set everybody up, just keep recommending Thundercast until we reach the crossover here. But you know, after this train wreck, you need to go back and watch some good classic Thundercat episodes. So I'm going to recommend the second part to the Thundercats kind of Exodus, which is looked at as like either two. But the first episode is called Exodus, but the second part, The Unholy Alliance. Love that episode where the mutants meet Mom-Ra for the first time. We're introduced to Mom-Ra, and we get a good battle of Lino and the mutants and Lino and Mom-Ra. Great way to kick off the series. That shows you how tough Mom-Ra is when they're throwing, you know, full trees at each other and just breaking them with one hand. Good. That is what a kick-ass fight ought to be, and we did not get that. So it's a good reminder here.
All right. Okay, and as for me, remember you can go to popculturenetwork.com, fansofpower.com, and on Facebook you can of course find Fans of Power on Facebook at Fans of Power. And you can also go to Masters of the Galaxy, you can go to Masters of the Universe, the Ultimate Fan Group, and those are the main groups. And also you can check out a new podcast called The Thundercast that was just started by our buddy Thomas Guerra. So check that out, and with that being said, have a powerful day.
I love the power glove. It's so bad.
Now that is from the Wizard.
Yeah, Lucas, man.
I knew that. So.